So start off with kind of a gross question. Is there any taste worse than the taste of vomit? Okay, everyone's like, early service did not like this question as a way to start. Early service was pretty angry with me at first. Where's Pastor Bob? Chris says, yep, so he's in California, I'm sorry. So, and you're like, Jake, you've lost it. Like, we just need to pray and be done. So I'm going to tell you a story today. It's a weird story. It does involve vomit. But I'm going to tell you that story because it's going to help us get to something we struggle with of making comparisons. I think a lot of us struggle with that. It's going to help us figure out some things about how does prayer and reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit, like how does that all work? How's that supposed to look in our life? Okay? So if you'll stick with me, it's a weird story. Stick with me. We'll get to that at the end. So please stick with me on it. Let's pray so we can make it there. Jesus, you said you would not leave us alone. You wouldn't leave us as orphans, but you would send the Holy Spirit to us to remind us of what you said and to guide us into all truth. Today, we invite your Spirit to be here, to guide us into truth and to teach us about himself and to teach us about you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So, story begins, I'm about 20 years old, I think I am 20, and I'm back at my parents' house for the summer, back from college, and I'm hanging around some friends from high school, but it's a little bit bigger group than I used to hang out with in high school, including this girl who I was around some, but she was a year younger than me, and she's one of those girls who's intimidatingly pretty. This is way before Chrissy, too, just fill that in, but... So, intimidatingly pretty girl. So, all through high school and stuff, I'd never talked to her because she was a little bit younger, and I just thought there was no point in talking to her because she was super pretty. That's how my mind worked. So, but that summer, we were in this little smaller clique of friends, and she seemed interested in me. And so, I asked her out on a date and took her on her date. And date number two was with a buddy, Ben, and his girlfriend, and the two of us. So it was four of us. And whether you're 20 years old or even older, a lot of times when you're trying to impress a pretty girl and you're a guy, you act like a little 12-year-old boy a lot of times. You know, you act stupid. Jerry's like, yep, I could relate. So we're at this park. It's late at night. It's one of those hot summer nights, but there's a merry-go-round there. And so I don't think any female, any 20-year-old or 19-year-old would be impressed with this, but Ben and I are on this merry-go-round spinning super, super fast. You can start to see maybe where this is going a little bit since this picture's out there. So we're going super, super fast. As it's happening, like, I hang off backwards off this merry-go-round, which isn't impressive, but I do that. And I have this image go through my mind of remembering being a little kid at one of my sister's softball games. And I was spinning on this little spinning thing, and this older kid came and spun it really fast. And I remember, like, the joke was on him because I just puked in, like, a circle pattern, you know, and, like, got all over, like, the fourth grade bully or whoever that was, you know. So that memory comes in my 20-year-old head. I'm thinking this was a bad idea to get on this merry-go-round in front of Stacy, you know, in front of this super pretty girl. So get off the merry-go-round. Ben and his girlfriend decided to go somewhere else. I don't remember because I wasn't really paying attention. I was just thinking, like, don't throw up. Don't throw up. So I'm thinking that. So now they leave. Stacy and I get in my car. And I think she's expecting, like, some sort of idea of where we're going next or something. But the car is even stuffier than it was outside. And so that mantra is just in my head still. That's all I'm thinking about, like, don't throw up. Don't throw up. Don't throw up. I feel like I have to throw up. Well, so I'm a tailor, and my dad raised me of, like, this idea of, like, mind over matter. Like, Jake, like, you can do hard things, you know. So I fully bought into that. So I make the decision, like, I'm not going to puke. Like, I don't care what my stomach thinks is going to happen. Like, I'm not, it's not happening. So my stomach doesn't agree with that. So I... I don't have control of my stomach. I don't have control of anything up until about my teeth and my mouth. So I throw up, hits the back of my teeth. I'm not puked, you know. So I swallow it back down. So there's some lessons in life that you can learn from other people. You don't need to learn yourself. I will tell you, like, puking once burns your throat pretty bad. Swallowing your puke, like, burns way worse than you can imagine. So don't learn that lesson for yourself. I apologize. Some of you just look so grossed out right now. I'm sorry for that. So I swallow it. I'm driving while this happens. You know, I have the car in reverse, then first. I just kind of swerve to a stop as I puke and swallow my puke. And I then start coughing uncontrollably because my throat is on fire. So poor Stacy is sitting in the passenger side when all this happens. I'm not looking at her at all. This all happens. So from her perspective, I backed out. I started to drive. Then I swerve a little bit and stop. We're in a parking lot still. And so she asked some sort of question. I can't even remember what she asked. Something like, what happened? Or Jake, are you okay? Or something like that. Yeah. So my mind is racing so fast, but like not getting anywhere on like how to answer that question. I'm coughing like crazy, and I know like I have to answer that question somehow. So here's what I say. I don't know where this idea came from, but it wasn't a good one. So I say, I swallowed a bug is what I come up with in that moment. So I say that, and then I awkwardly just drive her home because I'm not going anywhere else after that, you know, like, so there's awkward little hug at the end of the date. Anyways, you can probably fast forward the story and figure out, you know, things did not work out with Stacy, obviously. But why did I tell you that ridiculous story? A lot of you are like, oh, I hated that story. You know, like, that was gross and pointless. Well, it wasn't pointless. So I go home that night, and I've been reading, at that point, I was reading the Gospel of John, and I was in John 16. And so staying at my parents' house that summer, so I'm on my little, like, kid bed, and I kneel on my bed, and I pray, even though I'm kneeling in this very, like, humble posture, maybe some of you have done this too, of, like, you're in this very humble posture, but you don't say a humble prayer. So my prayer was something along the lines of, Jesus, I don't know if I should have said, you know, I don't know if that was a lie or not to Stacy, but forgive, you know, if it was, forgive me, and then, you know, help me as I read the Bible and teach me. Some sort of, like, kind of canned prayer. And if you've ever gotten an apology like that, I think we all have. Like, I'm so sorry if you were offended or if you were hurt by what, you know, I'm sorry your feelings got hurt. It's kind of this excuse more than it is an apology. That's what I gave to God. But I did at least say, like, Jesus, come and teach me, and he was happy to do that. So I start reading in John, and I'm reading in John 16. It's a passage about the Holy Spirit. So this is Jesus talking. He says in verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So this is Jesus talking to his disciples just right before he gets arrested. And he's saying, it's actually good that I'm about to go to the cross and I'm about to go and leave earth. And for those disciples, they got to walk with Jesus. They got to wake up in the morning and look over and there Jesus is. They got to ask him questions. And yet Jesus says, better than having a group of people follow me, it's actually better that you have the Holy Spirit. It's going to be better for you. And a lot of us don't think that way. We think, like, oh, I really want to just be in the same room as Jesus. And I think it's because we don't know how good the Holy Spirit is. If you haven't fully experienced the Holy Spirit, then you can't understand the truth of this, okay? And, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit today, and something this passage doesn't specifically answer, but just to throw out there, how do you get the Holy Spirit? It's very basic. Jesus talks about it in John 14 and 16 about if we come to him, if we love him, that God the Father and Jesus will make their home in us, and that's how they do it, is through the Holy Spirit. So as soon as you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've made mistakes. I need you. I want you. I'm thirsty for you. Then Jesus promises to give us the Holy Spirit, okay? So That's the formula for how you get started with him. But here's what he describes: the Holy Spirit as the advocate, as someone who's pulling for us, someone who wants what's best for us. Here's, he's going to get into the specific things the Holy Spirit will do. And the Holy Spirit does a lot. Today we're just going to talk about one of the things he does. So this is what this passage says. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Some translations will use the word convict. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict people. Or you could say prove to be wrong. It's this idea of from the inside showing somebody they're wrong. And if any of you have ever tried to convince someone who thinks they're right that they're wrong, you know what a big deal it is. Like, it's very hard to get into someone's heart and say and plant that truth that you're wrong. Like, no matter how good of a debater you are or whatever, most of the time you can't get people to accept that. So Jesus says one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is going to be to show up in your heart and actually get you clued in that you're wrong on some things. Now, what are we wrong about? Well, he says we're wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And the first and the last one made sense to me. The second one I didn't understand for a long time. So let's read the details here. About sin, because people do not believe in me. So this always clicked right away about I could remember what it was like before I accepted Jesus. And I could remember, like, I had done some wrong stuff. And until I accepted how wrong that was, I couldn't really step forward with Jesus, okay? So if we don't believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit's working on us to get us to clue in that we've made mistakes. So if you're here today and you're like, I don't know about Jesus, but I know I've made some big problems. I've done some wrong stuff. Well, then the Holy Spirit's already got step one down with you. If you're at that place, then you're primed to give Jesus a chance. To say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want you to help me be better. So that made sense to me. Verse 10 never did, though, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. I thought, why would the Holy Spirit convict us? Why would he prove us wrong about what's right? And what is this stuff about Jesus going back to God? I didn't understand it. We'll get back to this verse. Verse 11, and about judgment, because the prince of this world, talking about Satan, now stands condemned. Now, this third one is talking about, if you've ever been going through life, and you suddenly have the realization that the path you're on is going to end in total failure. You've been doing selfish, evil stuff because you thought it was what was going to be good for you. But somewhere along the line, you clue into like, no, I showed up for a party, but I'm headed to a horrible place. This is a place of slavery. This is a place of hatred or loneliness, bitterness. That's what this verse is talking about. The Holy Spirit will show up and say, the end of the line for selfish behavior isn't a place you want to be. It's a place where you lose. So that's what the final verse is talking about here. So for some of us here today, maybe you need one of those two I've already talked about. Maybe you say, I know I'm wrong. I want to take that first step and believe Jesus can help me. That's an awesome step to take. Maybe you're at this third part of the verse here, and you say, I know the way I've been living isn't headed anywhere good. I know I need to go the opposite direction of where I've been headed if I want any victory. But maybe you're here today and you're like, Jake, I just want to know what puke has to do with any of this story and what has to do with these verses. Well, let's break it down to that verse 10. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. So when I got home, prayed that little kind of prideful prayer, and then I read this chapter. And there's a reason we pray before we read the Bible. It's because the Bible can't help us unless God speaks to us through the Bible, okay? The Bible won't help you if you come to it like a chemistry book and you're just looking for facts. It'll only help you if you look for Jesus to speak to you through it. How does that work? Well, when I was reading, boom, this verse jumped off the page to me. Even though I'd read that chapter a lot of times before, and it was like, it felt to me like Jesus was slapping me over the back of the head. Like, maybe Jesus doesn't treat you that way. Sometimes he treats me that way. What, I deserve it, you know? So he slapped me over the back of the head with this. Here was the deal. I could have called, you know, I was working with a youth ministry at that point. I could have called the youth pastor I was working for, told him the whole story about Stacy and how I told her I swallowed a bug, and he would have been like, you're fine, man. I'm just, don't be an idiot next time, but whatever, like you've suffered enough on that one. Or I could have told my parents, or I could have told my friends, or I could have told my brother, who can be hard on me sometimes. Nobody would have held me to a standard of like, hey, it was wrong for you to lie to Stacy. Like, no, I don't think I knew a single breathing person that would have pushed me on that at that point in my life. But that's exactly what Jesus was pushing me on that night. He said, here's the deal, Jake, like, I went to heaven. I'm in heaven right now. And the Holy Spirit's here to show you where the bar is at. And the bar isn't impressing everybody else. The bar isn't being this nice guy. The bar is me, is Jesus. And when you don't live up to it, that's what I'm here to show you, that you're wrong. Now, some of you are here today and you're like, Jake, this doesn't even matter. Like, that's such a little thing. Lying about swallowing a bug is such a little thing compared to the stuff I'm facing, you know? I've got the feds after me or whatever it is that you've got going on in your life, you know, like, you know, you're like, what does this have to do with me? You know, like, so you're trying to impress some girl, you know? The heart of it is the same whether you're 5 years old or 100 years old, whether you've murdered somebody or whether you've told some little lie to impress a girl. Here's what the heart of it is that Jesus hit me with. Jesus hit me with a, you're wrong, first off. I'm wrong for what I did. And second, this is where I got uncomfortable, is Jake, you lied to her, and you could call her up right now and tell her you lied to her and apologize. And it's like, whew. Like, I swallowed puke to get out of an embarrassing situation with her. Like, the last thing I want to do is call her and tell her anything about this. And then I just sat there. I could just feel it. I could just feel like the Holy Spirit being like, we're not going any further till you do this. So that's the thing that a lot of us face. And maybe you don't see it for what it is, but if you pray and say, Jesus, come and teach me, and then you open up the Bible and you get real as you're reading it, Jesus will hit you with stuff. And the Holy Spirit will hit you with stuff and say, you're wrong in this way or this way or this way. And the way it works with God is when he shows up and tells you you're wrong on something, then he's told you enough. He expects action before he wants to take another step. What's the point of telling you something else if you won't do anything with the first thing he told you? So, I know this sounds stupid. I was only 20 at the time. You know, I've grown up a little bit since then. It was not as big a deal, like, on a date with Christy when I was, like, 26. Unfortunately, I just threw up in front of her, though. I wasn't none of this crazy, like, swallowing my puke. You know, I've matured since then, you know. But and Christy, obviously prettier than this Stacy girl, you know, but at the time, sorry, Stacy, wherever you are, but at the time, for me, there was a character flaw of intimidated by this girl just because of how pretty she was. Like, that shows, like, I'm not maybe as great and mature as a person as I should be. Guess what character flaws tend to do? They tend to lead us into places where we sin. And when a character flaw leads to us sinning, then the Holy Spirit is on that of like, okay, now I got something to work on. Because here's the real heart of the issue is, I had to decide in that moment, is my own pride or shame or fear or whatever, is that what I'm going to live for? Or am I going to live to try to do what Jesus wants me to do? It sounds nice and Sunday school-y. It's pretty crummy when it's like late at night. This is a long time ago, plus I'm weird and didn't have a cell phone for a long time. So I go downstairs to the kitchen, I get my parents' phone, like dial her number. The whole time I'm like, this is going to be horrible. Call her up. She's still awake. You know, I'm like, sorry, it's so late. I'm calling you. So, you know, earlier tonight, like when I swerved in the car a little bit, I coughed a lot. And you asked what was wrong. She's like, yeah. I mean, already in the tone, you know, like this is, I think we're done. You know, like, it's not going well. And I said, well, I said I swallowed a bug because I was embarrassed. I threw up in my mouth, and I was embarrassed to tell you that. So I lied, and I'm sorry I lied. Awkward pause. Okay, bye, or whatever. I don't know exactly how the conversation went. Didn't go well. Like I said, things didn't work out with Stacy. But I can't tell you, I went right back up to my room, and it was a totally different dynamic with the Holy Spirit. Like, I had made a mistake, but this is the way God works, and it's incredible. Nobody else you meet will work just like this. When, no matter what you've done, if you've done something really crazy that no one else will forgive you of, when you come to Jesus and do it his way, he will put it all to the side. He'll cover it all up. Here's the other thing that Jesus is like that no one else is like. No one else will push you like Jesus will push you. Most people would have said, like, yeah, well, Jake, that's no big deal. They might have said, like, yeah, you shouldn't lie. I don't think anyone would have pushed me to call Stacy at 12:30 at night or whatever and say this whole thing. Like, that's crazy. But that was the contrary action that I took. It really slowed me down on lying in the future because I had to face the shame that powered the lie. A lot of times when we do the thing Jesus is pushing us to do, it's about facing the gunk inside of us and saying, this isn't as important to me as Jesus. I'm going to do it his way. So when you're here today, you might not be worried about some pretty girl, but whatever junk is going on in your life right now, it probably is rooted in some sort of flaw inside of you. And Jesus probably wants you to take some sort of action that's going to be something you don't want to do. If you wanted to do it, you'd already have done it. Now, here's another little fact to throw out in this story. 20-year-old Jake Taylor had a lot of problems besides that one flaw that I just talked about, okay? Just like I have a lot of problems today, 13 years later. So Jesus was working with me on one thing that night, and I had an action to take, and I took it, and then he was good with me. You might have, you know, an angel might be able to show up and be like, well, listen, this is the 75 things that's wrong with you, or the 1,200 things that's wrong with you, or whatever. You know, like, someone with a heavenly perspective might be able to see a lot that's not Christ-like in you. But the way Jesus normally works is the Holy Spirit will show up, and he'll convict us of one thing, and he wants us to work on that one thing. And then, as we're working on that, he may show us another thing, but it's typically, let's work on one thing at a time. And so if you're here today and you don't have any crazy calling somebody that you don't want to call and having a conversation you don't want to have, if you don't have any of those stories, if you don't have a story of you're doing something you really didn't want to do because you wanted to get right with Jesus, then are you doing the things I talked about in the story? I'm not perfect, but here's the good things that happened. Every day I was spending time with Jesus. So I didn't get very much gap between my actions and getting checked with Jesus. I was kneeling when I prayed, trying to help me be a little more humble, even if my prayers weren't very humble. And the nice thing about prayer is even if you come to prayer kind of a mess, prayer is about getting next to God. And even if you get next to God and you're kind of a mess, that's the safest place you can be when you're a mess, is to be close to God. So you spend that time praying, and then you spend the time opening up to his word after you say, Jesus, come and teach me. If you're not spending time praying every day, if you're not spending some time getting somehow connected with the Bible, if reading is not your forte, like, we can talk, you know, you can listen to it, you can talk to somebody else about it, we can find some different ways to get it in your life. But you let Jesus speak to you, and then the final big one, you know, I could have gone away that night and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to try to never lie again. That could have been my goal because I realized I made a mistake. That's what a lot of us do. Jesus shows us something. We're like, oh, I'm going to try harder in the future. But if you listen, a lot of times Jesus wants you to do something right now that's contrary to your last mistake. And I can tell you, if you have to call a pretty girl that you're intimidated by and apologize for lying, like, you're going to be really slow to lie the next time. But if you just say, I'm going to try harder in the future, like, good luck. Like, there's a reason you did it, and you're probably going to do the same thing again. But if you start doing contrary action, God starts working on your heart, starts digging at this stuff. So I'm throwing out a lot of advice today, but it's a sermon, I guess. I guess that's okay. Here's another tip for you along the life's journey is, so Stacy and I, that happened when I was 20. Chrissy and I went on our first date when I was 26. So there's a lot of time in there, you know? And so I don't want to say like, oh man, I started following Jesus and everything just fell into place in my life. Like I obeyed Jesus in that moment and I went and got to have a real connection with the Holy Spirit. That was the immediate reward. If you obey Jesus today, you can have a real connection with the Holy Spirit. If you obey Jesus today, he may not give you the woman of your dreams tomorrow. He may not give you the house that you want to live in. You may be working a job you think is beneath you for 6 years or whatever time God thinks is right. A lot of times we go into this stuff and we think like, oh man, I tried this for 3 weeks and it didn't work. You know, like I didn't get everything. I just went on the front end. This is what it's about. This is my experience with Jesus. Like, I can't speak for somebody else, but I can tell you, like, Jesus gave me what I needed, but not always what I wanted. And I had to wait a long time on certain areas of what I wanted. Baby steps, yeah. And obviously at 20, like, I was not really ready to be a good husband at that point. I had some issues. And anyways, so all that said, here's kind of my closing thought for us today before we pray a blessing out. A lot of times we like to compare ourselves to other people. We like to say, I'm better than this guy. Or sometimes we're negative on ourselves. We think, I'm not as good as this lady or something. Sometimes we compare ourselves to ourselves. All of this can, sometimes it can be useful, okay? Sometimes it is good to see where has God brought me from. Sometimes it is useful to say, like, everybody else in my small group reads their Bible every day. Like, why don't I? You know, sometimes that can be helpful. But the real bar that gets set for us, this verse says, you can't see Jesus physically anymore. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that's got to convince us of where the bar is. He's got to tell us what righteousness is. Okay, so we've got this bar, and it's Jesus. And so when we can set the bar at my past self, or we set the bar at my other small group guys, or we set the bar at the other ladies at work, then we're not doing the right way. And you can find an excuse pretty easy, okay? Probably like, oh, I'm so much better than this person, or I'm doing so much better. It's not a healthy way to live. Jesus will set the bar right for you, and it'll push you, but it won't destroy you. Sometimes we think, oh, I need to do everything in my recovery the first 30 days. Or we think like, oh, I'm doing great. I'm just skipping along over all the bars in life, you know? Jesus will set a bar in your life that's so high that you can't get it on your own. But he'll also set the bar somewhere that, like, you can get it today. Whatever he set the bar at, with God's help, you can get it today. If God wants you to have a relationship with someone in your house without getting angry, if that's what he pushes on you, then you can do it today. Now, if you decided that was what you needed to do today, like, well, good luck. But if God put that on you, he'll give you the power to do it. So the point this week, spend some time praying and saying, Jesus, come and teach me. Holy Spirit, come and show me where I'm wrong in living up to Jesus. Then read a little bit of the Bible. Jesus will give you something to do if you do that part of it. Then when he gives you something to do, go and do it. You don't have to do 75 things this week. Let's just do a few things that God wants us to do. There's a lot of good stuff I ran around doing when I was 20. I mean, I was interning with the youth group. I was doing all these little holy things. But one of the things that really helped me to grow to be more like the man God wants me to be is that apology that night. Like, that was a real step that really changed me to be a little bit more like Jesus. I have a long way to go. But that was a real step. Whatever the Holy Spirit will convict you on this week, if you will take it, it will be a real step. You will really be more like Jesus next Sunday than you are today if you will listen to him and obey him. So I want to pray a blessing over you guys. Jesus, in John chapter 7, you said, if anyone is thirsty, they could come to you and drink. And you promised that you would put rivers of living water. You would put your Holy Spirit in them. Jesus, I pray for everybody who's thirsty this week, everybody who prays and reads your word and looks for conviction. Jesus, I pray you would flow into their life, not only to show them where they're wrong at, but show them how to make it right. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.